Grace to you and peace from our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, last week we talked about the freedom of the Christian. Remember that? Are you free today? God taught us that we are saved. He saves us by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, as a free gift. Isn't that amazing? What a super God we have. Today, I'd like to talk with you about the role of works then. If we're saved by faith apart from works of the law, where then do works come in? Especially when God in the Bible, often in speaking of the last day judgment, talks about judgment according to works. What's he talking about there? I thought we're saved by faith apart from works. So let's take a look at this today and see what God would teach us then about that through his holy word. And we'll start off by, let's just refresh ourselves in the freedom of the Christian. Would you like to hear about the freedom of the Christian? We're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. We'll just go about this briefly, but let's prove and make sure we have the right gospel. Is it by grace alone that you're saved? We read here in Titus chapter 3 that we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by men and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of deeds done by us in righteousness, but in virtue of his own mercy and the grace which he gave us, but in virtue of his own mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewal in the Holy Spirit, which he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that we may be justified by his grace and become heirs in hope of eternal life, the saying is sure. So let me ask you, based on that text, what was in our favor to save us in terms of our own righteousness? Nothing, right? Our resume stunk. We were sinners. We were gone after all the lusts of the flesh and such things. But God saved us, not because of our deeds, right? Done in righteousness. That's what it says. But in virtue of his own mercy. That's by grace. So would you say we're saved by grace alone? Yes. Absolutely. The Bible says by grace, not by your works of righteousness. Okay, then we can look. How about, are we saved by faith alone? Well, there's many places we could look at that. But let's take a look at Galatians chapter 2 and prove this. Paul says to Peter, we ourselves, who are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners, yet who know that a man is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. Even we've believed in Christ Jesus to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because by works of the law shall no one be justified. So are we saved by works of the law? No, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So are we justified by faith alone? Yes, absolutely. By grace alone, through faith alone. How about Christ alone? Well, Peter, speaking there in Acts chapter 4, said in verse 12, and there is salvation in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And you know one of my favorite verses for this whole thing, the gospel? Ephesians 2, 8 to 9. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It's the free gift of God, not because of works, lest any man should boast. So, is it true? We're saved by grace alone? Say amen. Amen. Through faith alone? Amen. In Christ alone? Amen. Amen. That's the freedom of the gospel, and God wants you to enjoy that freedom. But now we need to ask that question. How about works? Where do they come into play? And especially, why does the Bible seems so often to say that God will judge us on the last day according to our works, according to our deeds, by what we do? I thought we were saved by faith apart from works. How come it now says judgment is according to works? Well, is that true? Let's take a look at the Bible and see if that's really what God says here. Okay? Isaiah 59. Speaking of God's coming for judgment, God put on righteousness as a breastplate, a helmet of salvation on his head, and garments of vengeance for clothing. He wrapped himself in fury as a mantle. According to their deeds, so will he repay. Wrath to his adversaries, requital to his enemies. to the close lands he'll render requital. So they shall fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. Does that sound like judgment according to works? Requite a person according to his deeds, does it? Yes, it does. Very good. Just making sure, okay? Here's another one. Ezekiel 9, God says, as for me, my eye will not spare, nor will I have pity, but I will requite their deeds upon their own heads, says the Lord. Psalm 62, for thou dost requite a man according to his work. Lamentations 3, thou wilt requite them, O Lord, according to the work of their hands. So, judgment sounds like it's according to works, doesn't it? According to those. How do we explain that? Thou we're saved by faith alone, apart from works and works of the law. Why then does it say so much this talk of... In fact, you don't even hear of faith. It's all this talk about works at the judgment. Some people say, yep, that's the Old Testament. It was by works then. New Testament is faith. But then, as we read, let's take a look at the New Testament over here. See what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 16. He says, for the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay everyone for what he has done. Right? That sounds like the Old Testament, doesn't it? He's going to repay everyone for what he has done. Paul, who just preached to us that wonderful freedom of the gospel, over here in Romans chapter 2, he says this, for he will render to every man according to his works. To those who by patience and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are factious and do not obey the truth, there will be wickedness. But obey wickedness, there will be wrath and fury. Paul also says in 2 Corinthians 5, he says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one will receive good or evil according to what he's done in the body. Does that sound like judged according to works? Mm-hmm. Yes? Yeah. Certainly sounds like it, doesn't it? I'll give you one more off the top of my head. Revelation 20, John sees a vision and he says, then behold, I saw a great white throne and him who sat upon it. And from his presence, the earth and the sky fled away and no place was found for them. Then I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Also another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books, by what they had done. Right. And Jesus in Revelation 22 says, behold, I'm coming soon, bringing my recompense to repay everyone for what he has done. So, wow, it certainly sounds like works, right? We're judged according to works, according to what we've done, according to deeds. Question is, how do we reconcile this? We're saved by faith alone apart from works. And then it says we're judged according to works. How do you bring those two together and understand it? Well, frankly, it's actually very easy and very simple and crystal clear. If you just think of it in the illustration of a farmer or a vineyard keeper. And let me start out with some seeds here. Start out with this one. What kind of seed is this?
Small.
Okay, you can't tell. Very good. I appreciate it. I got another seed over here. Which one is this?
Small.
Smaller still. You can't really tell. You can't really see much or tell me much about which seed is good and which is bad. Okay? Well, what if I were to tell you, if you don't know what kind of fruit it is, that this seed here, this white one, produces this. What's that?
Orange.
An orange. Okay, so that, what would that tell you about the seed? It's an orange seed because it produces the fruit of an orange, right? Or if you take the apple seed, I just messed it up. Produces this, right? What is this seed over here? It's an apple seed, right? So what are you telling me? You're telling me that the seed, the type of seed that's implanted in the ground is known by its fruit? Is that what you're telling me? Before you didn't know, you couldn't tell, but once you saw what the seed produced, the fruit, then you knew what kind of seed it was, right? Very simple, right? And Jesus says that the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed upon the ground. In another place, he says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for the tree is known by its fruit. I want to ask you a question. If I plant this orange seed, this white seed, in the ground, how long would it take for me to get an apple? It's just not going to happen, right? There's a power in the seed. It naturally bears an orange. And if I plant an apple seed, I'm just plain not going to get an orange out of it. I'm going to get apples, right? And so God says it will be known about your faith by your fruits, by what I'm seeing on the branches. Now let's take a look how this sheds light onto our question here. For Jesus knew that there would be many people who would claim to have been Christian or to know him on the day of his coming and judgment, but who would nevertheless not know him. And this would become evident by the fruits. Jesus said, for example, Matthew 7, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their
works."
By their fruits, by their works. Are grapes gathered from thorns or figs from thistles? Can you get an apple tree from an orange seed or vice versa? So every good sound tree bears good fruit, and the bad tree bears evil fruit. A sound tree cannot bear evil fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will know them by their fruits. Right? Because seeds, really, they do look a lot alike, right? When I held these up, even at least from a distance, closer up, maybe you could tell if you are well acquainted. And God knows what is in your heart. But the fruits give an outward evidence of what's in there, right? For example, if you look at America, how many Americans do you think, percentage-wise, would claim to be Christian? It's 53% Protestant, 22% Catholic, 8% other, which makes 83. 83% of Americans consider themselves Christians. And I hope they all are. But is that true? Are they all Christians, though they claim Christ's name? You'll know them by their fruits. For what of bishops, for example, or pastors in other denominations who, for example, promote homosexuality and say, this is acceptable in God's sight and wonderful. Go for it. You know, there's a fellow, or at least another Lutheran denomination, that voted in 2009 to make gays and lesbians, practicing gays and lesbians, pastors by a vote of 559 to 451. Now, I'd ask you, what about the 559 who are voting for homosexuality as right, contrary to the scriptures? Are they Christian? You'll know them by their fruits. I hope they repent and are and become, but you'll know them by their fruits. What about pastors who get involved in scandals or adultery or rob their congregations or twist the scriptures or preach a different gospel than the one we received in here? Are they Christian? What about, regular congregation members who say, you know, like the really cool Christian, hey, man, I know Jesus, he's my man. I'm saved by faith alone, by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, I am golden. And then goes ahead and sleeps with every girl in town. Is that person a Christian? Are they safe in that case? For Jesus warned, Matthew 7, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Who does what? Who does the will, right? On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, says Jesus, I never knew you. Depart from me, you doers of evil. And in another place he says, beware of the scribes who like to go about in long robes and have the salutations in the marketplaces and the seats of honor, best seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at feasts, who devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation. So, are there a lot of people that claim the name of Christ and will claim the name of Christ? Are they all of Christ? You will know them by their fruits. Which is which, Jesus says. And, you know, you can say, Lord, Lord. You can even pretend to cast out demons. You can have long prayers, fasts, even long sermons. But, exactly, this is maybe going to be longer even so. But they still don't know me, says Jesus, because they are doers of evil. Maybe even secretly in their lives, but I see it. Now, let's talk about ourselves. Hopefully you're all in Christ. I believe so, and I hope so. What about us? Do we sin? Yeah, we still wrestle with sin. Of course we do. And we fall into sin occasionally? Absolutely. What do we do? What is the fruit that comes out of this seed of the word in our heart? As soon as you sin, what happens? You feel a remorse, and you repent. And you turn to God, and he cleanses you of all unrighteousness, right? So part of the fruit that of this seed in our heart is repenting when we do sin. But woe to the person who does not repent or feel any remorse when they sin. You'll know them by their fruits. So if you picture God as an orchard keeper, let's say he only wants orange trees in his orchard, and, you know, he sees something like this come up. What's that tell him about the seed that was planted? Hey, there was an apple seed here. Let's get that one out. But what if he sees this on the branches? Right? That's a good tree. I'm going to keep this one in here. That's what I want. Now, I want to ask you a question. Does the orange make the orange tree an orange tree? What makes the orange tree an orange tree? It's the seed, right? So our works themselves are not what save us, but they are the things that bear witness outwardly that we have received the right seed, namely the word of the gospel, the freedom of the Christian. I am saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, and that, if it's held fast, as Jesus says, in a good and honest heart, in good soil, it will bring forth fruit with patience. So God is bringing this out, and it shows that we've received the gospel by grace through faith. And see how this opens up all scripture to us now, to understand. Otherwise, how would you understand this? In John 5, Jesus says this, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life." He doesn't come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. What does that mean? Saved by what? Faith, right? He who believes, there it is, faith alone. Two verses later or so, Jesus says, "Don't marvel at this, for the hour is coming, and now is, when all who are in the hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come forth, those who've done good to the resurrection of life, and those who've done evil to the resurrection of judgment." What's that? Judgment according to works. And there you have the two right next to each other. By faith alone, but those who believe will do good. And you see also here again in Ephesians, "For by grace you've been saved through faith." And this isn't your own doing. It's the gift, free gift of God. It's not because of works, lest any man should boast. But then just a few chapters later, the same writer, Paul, in Ephesians 5, says, "Be sure of this, that no fornicator or sexually impure man or one who is covetous, that is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God." What's that? Works, right there, right? So there's faith alone, you're saved. But that will bear forth right works. And if you're still without remorse, sleeping around with everybody in town, or, as he says here, or covetous, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. And you will not be inheriting the kingdom if this is your heart. That's showing, actually, that there's another seed planted inside of you. Not the gospel, but the dark seed, bringing out evil. And so I want to ask you a question. What saves you then? Do your works justify you? Are you justified by faith alone? Yeah, we are justified by faith alone. Paul is so clear about that in so many letters. But then again, in an indirect way, you could say the fruits in an indirect way sort of justify, as James the Apostle says. Do you want to be shown, you shallow man, says James, that faith apart from works is barren? Wasn't Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered his son Isaac upon the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and the faith was completed by works. And the scripture was fulfilled. Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. What's James talking about? Is he destroying the gospel? What he's saying is he's writing to people who say, oh, I'm justified by faith alone, through Christ alone, by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone. But then they go on and live in evil. He says, you're deceiving yourselves. Faith apart from works is dead. But a true and justifying faith is going to bring forth fruits. Therefore, he says, James says, someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, says James, and I, by my works, my fruit, will show you my faith. By the life that I'm living and following Christ, you'll see that the seed of the gospel, the freedom of the gospel, has been sown in my heart. So we're justified by faith apart from works, by faith alone. But that faith, as Luther says, is never alone. It's always accompanied by the accompanying fruit. For that seed has the power. Luther said in our Confessions, Formula of Concord, it's therefore as impossible to separate works from faith as it is to separate heat and light from fire. And just after Paul said that thing about being saved by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone, the next verse, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So, are we saved by our good works? No. But are we saved for good works? Absolutely, yes. Not by, but for. And therefore, Jesus says, everyone then who hears these words of mine, the seed of the gospel, and does them, he'll be like a wise man who built his house upon a rock. And then the rains came and the torrent of the wind and the flood broke upon that house, and it did not fall because it had been founded upon the rock, this seed. But if someone builds his house on this other seed, on sand, Jesus says, you're a fool, because the waves of my wrath will come and break against that house and beat against the house and the torrents of rain, and it will fall, and great shall be the fall of it. And so it's not that the orange becomes an orange tree because it has oranges. It is so because it had an orange seed at its start. And same thing with the apple. And so we are to bring forth the fruits of the kingdom. So if you do sin, what happens? You confess it. You turn to the Lord, obviously. We're all wrestling with both of these seeds in us. But let that word of the gospel be in your heart to bring you to repentance. And God is patient with his vineyard, isn't he? Isn't he wonderful? We continue to slip and stumble, but he nurtures us. He prunes us. He waters us. He pours his light upon us until we grow up into the image of his son. Praise be to God for his wonderful vine dressing. So what's the good news? I'll give you a couple here toward the end. Number one, good news today is you are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. The freedom. Enjoy and rejoice in that freedom. That God loves you and saved you as a free gift. Secondly, if you've received that word of the gospel into your heart, know that this is a seed. This is a seed. It is powerful. And when it gets in there, it will grow and produce fruit. Should we try that right now? You want to try a little quiz or a little test? Let's test this theory, this preaching, I should say. Let's say you're a miserable sinner. Let's say you're down. You're beaten up before the Lord, and God comes and says this to you. I have loved you. Even so, I sent my son Jesus Christ. I have set you free. I have taken your sins on the cross. I removed them as far as the east is from the west. I call you my own son, and I will set you upon my throne, and I give you all this as a free gift. What's that doing in your heart, this preaching? If you're receiving that in here, I am joyful. Oh, my goodness. Thank you, God. Oh, there's the fruit of joy. Oh, thank you, God. Oh, my goodness. There's another fruit. Thanksgiving and praise. Oh, praise you, God, that you've done this. And then I start to say, you've done this for me? Wretched man that I am, what can I do for you? Oh, you were a cheerful giver to me. Let me be a cheerful giver to somebody else. Fruits. Or you forgave me my sins even before I asked. Then let me forgive others even before they ask. Fruit, you loved me when I was your enemy? Let me go love my enemies. Fruit, right? You see how this is working? You came and clothed me when I was naked and fed me your word? Let me go and clothe the naked and feed them. with food and your word fruit. You see, if you take this seed in here that I'm preaching, or God's word preaches in the Bible, it's going to produce fruit. And you will bear it fruit with patience, bring forth fruit with patience. Thirdly, even our good deeds that we do are by grace. For by grace have you been saved, etc. For we're God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in it. Do you know that even your good deeds that you do in life are by grace? God lays them out ahead of you. He says, and not only do I plant this seed in you, I'm the one who's bringing forth the fruit. Right? You just have to walk in the deeds that I've prepared for you to walk in. And then, finally, your works and your deeds will be rewarded, great beyond measure. Therefore, each shall receive his wages according to his labor, says Paul. And lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, says Jesus. And fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great, God said to the patriarch. And this is just the most amazing thing, isn't it? We're about at the end, so pay attention, all right? Isn't this amazing? That God not only plants the seed in you, he then causes it to bear fruit. He prepares the works. You walk in them. He does the work. And then he rewards you for the things that he's doing inside of you. What? He rewards you for the work he's doing inside of you? That's true. The works that he causes to bear fruit in you, he will reward. And so, finally, we're saved by faith apart from works, but we are saved for good works. And Luther said, we're justified by faith alone, but the faith which saves is never alone. The seed of the gospel will always be accompanied by the fruit of the gospel. And if we're going to trust in any works at all, let's trust in the works of Christ. That he came, he died for us, he rose again, he ascended, he's coming again, and he loves you. And that seed in your heart will bear precious fruit for God. In Jesus' name, amen.